progressive ideas, conversations from schools, and the newest concepts in education. This is the School Leadership Podcast.
Closing gaps, working on inclusivity, and redressing imbalance wherever it may be is at the very core of the Global Equality Collective. It's a collective that works with schools, businesses, and households to effect change. A good deal of their work centres around the characteristics of the 2010 Equality Act, and are there very much at the vanguard of support for the underprivileged, the disadvantaged, and members of society who would arguably otherwise fall through the net. Nick Ponsford is the co-CEO and founder of the GEC, and their app is here after several years of research. It's just out, and it's there to help any organisation track, monitor, and embed diversity and inclusion into its day-to-day workings. Nick's also an award-winning teacher and Harvard author of Techno Teaching. And if you follow the EdTech Global Equality or Diversity and Inclusion hashtags on Twitter, you're sure to have seen her chatty and thought-provoking tweets. They've also just had a rebrand, and as Nick puts it, they've got some lovely new logos. I'm really pleased to say that Nick is in conversation with James Bowen.
Thanks so much for joining me today, Nick. What is this new app that you've created?
Well, we called it an app to be sort of a short term for what is a benchmark, Kites Mark, assessment, CPD, e-learning modules, 30 of them, everything you could possibly need to close your gaps when it comes to gender equality, the 9 characteristics of the Equalities Act, and we've also chucked in social economic status and single parenting. So we felt if we called it the GEC app, it was a bit less of a mouthful.
So tell me a bit about what this, you know, looks like in schools. There's obviously huge amounts to it there, but how are schools using it? What does it actually do? What impact does it have? Perhaps you can tell me a bit more about some of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. So the idea with it was that I started as a teacher back in 2001 and started doing a lot of teacher training. And over the last 20 odd years, I've seen how teacher training has kind of moved. I've seen the sort of, you know, the trends of not only sort of the content, but also the delivery. And it kind of struck me that there were a lot of consultants out there who were charging a lot of money. Schools are paying an awful lot of money for this, but actually it wasn't really changing the dial. And I know from the work that I'd done when I'd worked for Achievement for All, which is an educational charity, that actually to have a sort of a sustained approach to kind of really embed something, a school really needs to have ownership of it. It needs to be theirs. So the idea with it was that when it comes to diversity and inclusion, and that could be, you know, trying to close your gaps for boys with writing, or it may be trying to, you know, help your staff with recruitment or retention of diversity and inclusion. Or it could be flexible working, or it could be how do we start attacking anti-racism? You know, all those kinds of different elements. It's like, where do we start? So that's basically where the idea of it came from. And so what we did, shall I just go into it? I might as well just go into it, James.
Yeah, tell us all about it. It'd be great.
Okay, so the idea basically came from, I was working in inclusion, looking at how to support free school meals students, pupil premium, pupils with SENDs, the sort of the lowest 20% attaining students in schools. And this is after, you know, I worked in schools myself. I was an advanced skills teacher for several years across the South Coast. And just, you know, how do we close those gaps? How do we diminish the difference? All those kinds of things. But basically, how do we improve the student experience and help engage them with learning and, you know, become these sort of global citizens? So how do we do all of those, but also deliver a curriculum, do all the other things that we're meant to be doing in schools? So I was kind of dealing with that, and I was put into a Twitter group by Graham Andre. Graham Andre is a brilliant primary school teacher, probably one of the nicest guys on edgy Twitter that's out there. There's a lot with Primary Rocks, and he'd created a Twitter group with lots of people who are doing stuff with inclusion. And, you know, it was a great group, but it kind of went the way a lot of these diversity inclusion groups go. You know, it's all quite, it's quite worthy, and there's lots of horrendous statistics of, you know, it's nothing's going to change. It's all awful forever. And I was like, this just, you know, it's just a bit rubbish, really. And there was another person in the group who was also being a bit sort of, you know, questioning what was going on. And that was Kat Wildman. And Kat was actually working in the corporates in the business sector. She was digital product director of a Telegraph at the time. And she was having those same sort of conversations, but, you know, up in London with big agencies and big organizations coming together to close things like, you know, the gender gap and, you know, you're a woman, you know, you can sort this gap out for us. And it was all just everything, everyone's trying to do something in a way to create change, to create opportunities, to be more productive. But actually everyone was a little bit blind about what they could do and didn't know where to start. And so we got together, and we're both sort of quite techie. I've done a lot around sort of ed tech, and you know, she's a computer scientist originally. And so we came up with this kind of solution, and the solution was, why don't we allow organisations to kind of plot where they are on this roadmap, and then give them everything they need to kind of sort it out themselves. And so that's basically what we developed. It's taken about 3 years, and we've worked with universities of Surrey, Kent and UCL to help validate it. So it's not just us two weirdos who've come up with it. And basically it is all online. So it means it's sort of fully accessible. We're not going to come in and do loads of workshops unless you really want us to. But the idea, it's all online. So you can literally go onto the GEC.org, follow where it says the app, and log in and do it yourself straight away. So that was the first idea, that it was easy for people to access. The second idea is, it would give you all the information you needed about diversity and inclusion. So what we've essentially done is we've broken down all those little bits, because, you know, this is hard stuff. This is tricky, you know. So I call it the Kaplunk model. So I see these different elements, like if you take trying to bring more Black leaders into education, I think it's 0.1% at the moment, or if you're trying to close flexible working, or if you're trying to look at how we get more girls to take up STEM, all those kinds of things. There's not one easy solution. You have to actually unpick it all. So what we've done is we've broken down all the different areas around the Equalities Act and put it into two assessments. So there's one for an organisation, and then the second one, which is really the gold, is the one that the staff, they do that assessment. So there you have an understanding of what you think it is like in your organisation, but then you get the voice of your staff who tell you actually what it's really like, actually what they've taken on board, what they're doing, what they think needs to change. And we basically bring that all together in this absolutely beautifully designed digital platform immediately, so you get those results. And what happens with those results is, not only do you get the voices of what your staff have told you, you can also filter that by all the demographics. So we have obviously included the 9 characteristics of the Equalities Act, but we've also taken it further, because I'm quite keen on going beyond identity politics. So we've brought in social economic status and single parents as well, which aren't part of England and Wales Equality Act at the moment. And so once staff have got those assessments, and you can look at that as an organisation, you can then work out what's next. You can work out actually where your areas that maybe are our top priority. You can work out what you want to do with your training. And we've created a suite of 30 e-learning modules which take you through everything you could need, from, you know, the key topics like LGBT+ or disability and anti-ableism, gender pay gap, for example, to actually, how do you hold those conversations? How do you receive those conversations?
You know, what about that, Nick? That's a really interesting bit. That jump between, so I get the impression, you know, staff fill in the kind of audit trail as a school. You've got a huge amount of information there, and a really sort of rich set of data telling you, you know, really kind of what it is like in your school when it comes to equalities and people's perceptions. How do you then start deciding where to prioritise? Because obviously you must look at that and think, well, actually all of these are important. You know, gender equality, disability, all the things you've sort of alluded to already. How do you then work out where to start? Because it must be very hard to pick one, if you like, but equally, if you try and do everything at once, I suspect you're probably not going to do it very well.
Yeah, and it's interesting. So we've designed this and built this, you know, from the bottom up. So we got funding at the start of lockdown, which is incredible hard, but you know, it's incredibly hard for female founders as well. And so we've built all of this. So all those kinds of decisions, you know, we had to make of what do we want in this. And originally, when we first did it, we didn't flag up any priority areas, sorry, because, you know, I was like, you know, I really want it to be open. I really want people to you know, jump in and pick what they want. But actually, you're right. I think people don't really know where to start. So we've actually flagged up what are kind of key areas. It's all, you know, all research based. And again, going through our university teams of what are the highest priority elements. And so what we've done, when you go through the assessment questions, we've got certain questions which are priority one. And then when you get to your results, it flags those up and rag rates them as well. So you can see where you do want to start. So what's happening when head teachers and senior leaders are using this, they are actually looking at those flagged up areas. And if they haven't got that in their SDPs already, they're then bringing that into their SDPs as well. Or they're choosing like three areas to target. So they might look at, you know, curriculum, families and flexible working. And that's what they'll work on for the first year. And the idea is you do your two assessments and you get your results, you work out where you want to go with that. And then you've got the all the online learning, which takes you for everything from like DfE guidance, you know, the research that's out there, but also gives you some practical ways that you can do that using our collective that we've got of, you know, hundreds of subject matter experts, loads of teachers, head teachers, educational organisations as part of that, of how you actually deliver that. So, you know, that could be, you know, redoing your library, that could be looking at your extracurricular activities, that could be some CPD for your teachers, could be focus groups for your governors. So all those kinds of ideas are all in it. So you get an idea of actually, where do we stand on this? Where is our snapshot for where we are now? And then what does that look like as a whole? You know, the 360 with the staff voice very much in it. And then we can start to unpack that into our development plans, into our improvement plans. And the idea is this is a year-on-year thing. So you can obviously, you can do this, put in the training, put in those changes, implement it. And then you, again, you can go back and do that again, ask all your staff how you think you're doing. And you can track the progress, which I think is quite interesting, because essentially what we're doing is we're asking teachers about their attitudes towards these things, either the practice and policies in your school or their personal attitudes to these things, and then working how you can kind of close those gaps and bring a bit more consistency when it comes to diversity inclusion, which, you know, I feel is, you know, an incredibly hard subject, which is why, you know, it's taken 3 years of just like living and breathing it to work out what would work best.
And as you said, I guess that, you know, this is not a 1 year piece of work, is it? This is ongoing year after year after year. I mean, I guess there's an argument that you're never going to complete or finish this. Is that right? You know, this is really something you're committing to on an ongoing basis. Is that a fair way of sort of?
Yeah, in a way. But I mean, what we do with it, the idea as well, it's very much to celebrate what the good work that there is as well. And again, that's another thing reflected in a lot of the sort of arguments when it comes to diversity and inclusion. You know, this is something I felt really important. And then once I kind of got into the social media aspect of diversity and inclusion, actually there's a lot of tensions, and I started to realise why, you know, the dial wasn't changing. There are absolutely incredible organisations out there, and I'm so pleased we've got so many in our GEC collective, but there's also a lot of sort of fighting. And if you take one area, like you do take, you know, LGBT plus, or you take gender, there's a whole range of different voices and arguments and feelings and extremities within those groups. And actually, I think when you're on the outside of it, it's quite hard to navigate. So what we wanted to do was kind of give, you know, as many voices as we could do. So when you go into the app, and again, the way it all unpacks this kind of toolkit around it, we do give a flavour of all those different voices, but we also allow you to kind of work out if you're doing it well. So we do have, that's the kind of benchmarking we've kind of got with the merit distinction or pass. just so people know how well they're doing. It's not meant to be something that is a, like a competitive bit where schools are, well, we're this and we're that. It's meant to be a kind of personal journey, because what's come up with the schools that have done it, and we've got almost 100 in, you know, since we've launched, which is amazing, is that that, you know, they're coming back and they're saying it's the conversations we're having internally. The middle leaders who didn't think they could do flexible working, the early careers teachers who thought a head of department had to be a male. You know, we're looking at how we, you know, advertise for jobs outside of our network. We're looking at actually how we do get the curriculum right and how we ask lots of people to feed into it. So, and I think when you do those things, you know, as a school, we're doing better. We are doing well. And I suppose what we offer as well is we refresh everything when new research comes in, or the topics kind of change, just to kind of keep it fresh. Mm. Because it, you know, it's hard to keep up with this stuff. It's, you know, it's changing a lot. And
talked a bit there, Nick, about the way it's sort of having an impact in those schools, those sort of 100 schools that have already adopted it. How transformational has it been for them? What is that sort of impact? You've given some sort of specific examples there, but have you seen sort of fundamental changes in the culture of schools as a result of them engaging with this work?
Yeah, I mean, what was really nice, Sam Strickland was one of the first head teachers to do this, and he said, it really helped us kind of understand that there are things we didn't know about ourselves. And coming from someone like Sam, that was incredible. And I think that's where it, I think that's the difference, is it just allows time for people to reflect on what's going on. And particularly, I mean, we've only just launched. I mean, you know, this is brand new. We got the funding in March, we built it over the autumn, and then we launched in December. So this is, you know, hot off the press, new. January seems to have gone like that, doesn't it? But, you know, it's brand new. And, yeah, schools are sort of saying, you know, it's really easy to use, really quick, you know, because it's online. It's not the bureaucracy that there have been with some other kinds of kite marks and things. And they could kind of get on with it straight away. And it was really nice to have a conversation that wasn't about lockdown. It was something that staff could get really excited about and take in a really positive way. And maybe all take small changes, or all, you know, celebrate the little thing that they're able to do, which for me, I, you know, what a time to be looking at, you know, helping disadvantaged students or closing gaps or being more inclusive, you know, because if, you know, if you're not going to do it now, when are you really? So
do you detect at the moment a kind of increased appetite for this sort of work? I mean, you know, the events of the last 12 months or so obviously means that sort of equalities, I think, has got to the front page far more than it did previously. Are you detecting an increased appetite amongst schools to really kind of dive into this work in a way perhaps they weren't doing in quite such depth before?
I think so. I think personally, from, I think we had 2018 where we had the big Me Too movement, and then we saw the ripples through that with, you know, gender pay gap in education and flexible working, slight rumblings around sexism and sexual harassment, and we saw, you know, sort of big grassroots organizations growing around feminism at that point. And then we've obviously had the Black Lives Matter, the movements around this summer that have highlighted the issues, you know, not just with racism, but sort of, you know, this anti-racism as well. And I think people are curious, people want to know more. And there's actually this quite healthy space where people feel they can start to ask questions a bit more, and, you know, they realize that they need to do something. And I think the movement from one characteristic to, you know, another characteristic for equality coming up to the surface means that people are now starting to see more of the kind of the intersectional issues there are. And actually, if we're going to look at gender and we're going to look at race, then really we need to also look at, you know, disability and anti-ableism. We need to look at, you know, ageism. We need to look at the different parts, because the reflection is then, actually, I'm not just one characteristic. You know, I've got all these other characteristics. I've got all these different lived experiences. And you know, I'm in this position, or people are really seeing, you know, the privilege that they have. And that's another topic that I think is quite interesting when you get into the diversity and inclusion, that you then start to talk about privilege. You know, cultural capital has been, you know, an exciting topic in education over the last sort of, I'd say, you know, 18 months or something. So I think it's bringing all those different pieces together that people are now starting to think, actually, I'm curious, I want to do more. This is great for my, you know, for my staff. This is great for my students. This is great for my community. This is engaging. And also it is the right thing to do. You know, it does have an impact from, you know, the short term of sort of retaining and recruiting your staff, but, you know, the impact it has on your students, helping them, you know, with the dispositions towards learning, understanding them more so you can create a more personalised curriculum. And also, you know, the sort of, yeah, the issues we've got around social justice that we have to pick up in education too. So, no, I do see it's changing, and I think it's starting to become a little bit more mainstream as well, which is great.
And can we talk a little bit about that impact on pupils? Because I think it's kind of clear that the way the kind of staff engage with this, you get all that kind of information through the audit, and you can do staff training, and you know, you've given quite a few examples around that. How does the app help you kind of work with the pupils? How does it impact directly on them? You mentioned about the curriculum, it'd be interesting to know a bit more about how it works at the pupil level as opposed to kind of the staff level.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I've sort of been heavily involved in my background, so, you know, I developed my own curriculums as a head of department. I've been an examiner, a moderator, I created BTEC, A-level GCSE courses, and then as an AST, I worked with primary schools and special needs schools. So that kind of curriculum approach has always been really important to me. But what I did notice about when you do any sort of teacher training, it's about engaging the members of staff and getting their attitudes right, which then impacts on the students' experiences. And I've kind of used that model for this because I think once you are, you've got the right mindset for this, that you are starting to think about inclusion and you are starting to think about the, you know, maybe the different lived experiences of your students in front of you, you then match that curriculum to them rather than the other way around. And so the idea is that the app is almost like an education, it's almost that CPD, it's all anonymous obviously for staff filling it in, and the staff say that they feel that's a real process as well, understanding where they sit, what their attitudes are to all these different things. And once they have done that, they can apply that knowledge then when they are designing those next lessons, or they are speaking to those students, or they are part of those, you know, teams creating new practices or policies. And so that's basically how it works on through the app. We also try to do things obviously offline as well. So with the GEC, we've got lots of awesome teachers in our collective and subject organisation. So we run things like competitions. We recently did a race hackathon for a load of schools in London. And we've also got our youth kind of website, which is called Smashing Stereotypes. And, you know, I'm delighted that we've just been approached by an American company who look at gender, looking at male attitudes towards stereotypes and sexuality, and they want to do a project, so we're going to run that through our school. So the way we work, we're very flexible, we're very new, so the way we can impact on students in lots of different ways. And then the other side of it as well is, you know, education is just one side, we've got our business side as I've mentioned, but we've also got a big parent community as well. We felt that those gaps wouldn't change, that those experiences wouldn't change unless we brought the homes in as well. So we really try to look at the cradle to retirement, and we need parents. So we work with lots of parent organisations, like Pregnant Then Screwed, and we try to bring in a lot of partnership work that can be done in schools, either through the parents or through the students as well.
So it sounds like you're doing just such important work through all this. Where do you see it all going? You know, you said it's relatively new, 100 schools signed up, you're a month or so into it as we're speaking today. What's the future for this? Where do you see it going, or where would you hope it could go?
To be honest with you, the whole idea with it is it accessible and that everyone would do it. So, you know, this doesn't cost loads of money. We set a one price of £150 a setting because we wanted a PTA group to be able to pay for it. We're going to look at, as more businesses come on, that they sponsor, but, you know, it's £150. And, you know, the head teachers have already said it's kind of a no-brainer. And so the idea was to do it at scale. And what I would really like to do is that once, you know, the schools have done it, we network them together. So we've got a LinkedIn community for business and education leaders. And what we would really like is them working together. I feel that there's still huge gaps between the business sector and education. I feel that where businesses have issues retaining and recruiting, you know, apprentices or new members of staff in, that's something that schools could help with. And schools, you know, from the work I did in secondary, we were desperate to make links with, you know, big industry, get the students to get those examples. And particularly now, you know, particularly, you know, the last year has been really difficult with, you know, no work experience being able to be offered. But it would have been great for, you know, to do online mentoring and things. So that's what we're starting to pilot out, this idea of our different sectors working together. And the next thing we're kind of working on is how we can help support maybe NEET students or you know, parents or returners to work. So we're trying to look at how we can help people who are struggling to access education and business as well, and how we can close those gaps for them as well. So, yeah, basically loads. I've got a never-ending to-do list, but it's very exciting.
And so for, you know, finally, for those people who have listened, who are really interested in what you've been saying, I think actually want to find out a bit more about that. I want to see how that might be applicable to my school. Where should they go?
If our website or social media. So our website is thegec.org, and you can either contact us or you can jump straight in and get the app straight away. And there's an education members area that takes you through all the FAQs, all the examples, everything you can need. Or you can email us at office@gec.org or follow us on social media. We've just had a rebrand as of yesterday. So we've got some lovely new logos that you can check out, and we're across all the main socials, so LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And we'd love to see you and join us for the discussion, basically.
Great. Thank you so much for joining me today, Nick.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so, so much.
For regular and useful content on the teaching profession, it has to be the School Leadership Podcast. The School Leadership
Podcast. You're listening to Nick Ponsford talking to James Bowen. If you'd like to look at more of their work and how they go about it, the GEC.org is where they are, the GEC.org. Thank you, as always, for listening to the School Leadership Podcast. All future podcasts from NEHT and NEHT Edge can very easily be yours by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify or Anchor. It's also really handy for us to hear what you have to say about the podcast. So if you're able to, just make a few minutes to write an online review. That would be perfect. NEHT is a professional association and union for school leaders. NEHT Edge is the part of our association aimed specifically at aspirational middle leaders. To discover more about the benefits of being an NEHT Edge or NEHT member, go online to nehtedge.org.uk/join or www.nht.org.uk/join. You can also be part of our conversations on social media. Our Twitter accounts are @NEHTEdge and @NEHTNews. We'll speak in a month's time. Take care.
From NEHT and NEHT Edge, the School Leadership Podcast.